Amen. Today we do continue in our sermon series that's called the Summer of Service, sermons that I pray have been encouraging to us in what we are doing to love our neighbors as ourselves, both individually as well as a congregation. This sermon series will go through Labor Day in the next couple weeks, just to give you a preview. Next week we're going to be looking at the God who serves, and then on Labor Day weekend, that all of our work is service unto the Lord. Then in September, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. So going into shift gears come the fall. But friends, let us continue in our sermon series. And Nancy, would you come read God's holy word for us this day so we can all hear it? Thank you.
Let us pray first. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house of worship as the body of Christ and to learn from your word through Pastor Tom. To that end, we ask that you would enlighten our understanding as he speaks to us today and help us to apply to our lives what you would have us learn in order to be your witnesses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 to 27, and Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Nancy. Well, I enjoy jigsaw puzzles. I'm not a big fan of those big ones, you know, like the 1,000-piece puzzles. I know some of you have the patience to put those together. But I like smaller jigsaw puzzles, maybe 250, 500 count, something that our family can put together in just a day or two. And it's fun. It's It's fun to take the different shaped pieces and figure out how they all link and snap together and makes a beautiful picture. And sometimes, though, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but there's a piece missing. And we get a lot of our puzzles secondhand, and so sometimes it truly is missing, and that's frustrating. But sometimes we start looking around on the floor, we look under the placemats, underneath some papers, and we find that missing piece. And it's just satisfying and to snap that last missing piece into its place. Well, the church is kind of like a puzzle. Each of us is a piece that has been shaped by God's hand, designed to fit into his redemptive picture to the world. We don't all look the same. We don't all have the same role. But without you, there's something missing. The Corinthian church had forgotten that. They argued about which piece was most important, and the results were division instead of unity. Paul reminds them, and he reminds us, that the beauty of the body comes when every piece is in place, working together in love for the sake of Christ. My outline, I don't have a slide for this, but it's that each piece fits into a unified picture. We're going to be looking at the unity of that. And then we're going to look at the picture that is being formed and then start talking about the pieces of the puzzle. So first, each piece fits into the unified picture. The Corinthian church did have a problem with disunity. You could already tell that just from this little section we read today. But Paul reminds them and reminds us that love is the highest virtue. It directs our spiritual gifts so that we as a church are built up in Christ. So what are these spiritual gifts that it talked about? Spiritual gifts are different from natural gifts. Natural gifts maybe we got from our birth, or maybe we received training and worked and learned that gift, that our talent that we have. But spiritual gifts come from our new birth, our second birth, our birth from God's Spirit, or the training that the Spirit of the Lord has us develop as he trains us as disciples of Christ. So spiritual gifts are received. We don't always get to pick which spiritual gift we have, but God knows in his sovereignty what the church needs. And if you're curious about, well, is there a place I can look at these lists of spiritual gifts because maybe I haven't really thought about my having a spiritual gift, and I do believe everyone has at least one spiritual gift, well, you're in luck. The Bible has lists of these spiritual gifts, and there's an easy way to remember where to find them in the Bible. It's 12:12:4:4. So 12, you think of Romans 12. Think of 1 Corinthians 12:12:12. And the 4s, you think about Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. These passages all have differing lists of spiritual gifts, gifts that were given to the church for the building up of the whole body. And these lists differ, so therefore, most scholars say it's probably not a complete list, so you may have a gift that is not included on this list, although it's a great place to start searching and saying, okay, Lord, if you've given me a gift, what is that gift? What is it that you've given me to serve you with? But something that is also common to these four passages is that they're all intricately tied by the word love. 1 Corinthians 12 that Nancy read for us, you all realize that 12 comes before 13. So the next chapter is chapter 13, which you may remember is the great love chapter of the Bible. Not romantic love, but love for your neighbor, how we live. And it talks about if we have all these spiritual gifts, but we don't have love, it profits us nothing. Nothing. So 1 Corinthians 12 leads us into chapter 13 that says these gifts need to work in love. Romans 12, that list concludes with these words. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So that's how it concludes its list of spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, that Nancy read, talks about how we carry out these spiritual gifts, and it says speaking the truth in love. And then as the body grows and builds itself up in love. And then in 1 Peter, its list actually begins with love. It says, above all, love each other deeply. So whenever we're talking about the spiritual gifts, the writers of the scripture, the Holy Spirit, makes us focus on love. Love that crafts the pieces, love that brings the pieces together for a purpose of showing God's love to the world. But what I also want us to remember is that God has a design in what he does. He doesn't put random pieces in a box and say, oh, I wonder what will happen. Instead, he has particularly made each piece of the body of Christ to fit together and to do what he wants it to do. So it's functional. So here I'm talking about an imagery of puzzles, but also talking about imagery of body. And I know that they're going to get a little bit mixed in my metaphors, but work with me. I think you'll be able to follow. So let's talk about the picture being formed. It's maddening for me to have random or seemingly random puzzle pieces because I don't know, I don't have a picture of what they're supposed to look like when I'm done. And so if you ever had that, you just have all these pieces around, you say, well, what's it supposed to look like? And the Bible gives us the box top, as it were, of what the body of Christ is supposed to display to the world, what it's supposed to look like when it's finished. And it talks about it being his body, his bride, his global bride. It talks about how Christ died and was purified, died for us, purifies us, and he makes us holy. It talks about the picture being a temple of God's, where God's Spirit dwells. And the temple, the body, the bride, an overarching theme for that is love. So the outside world, when they look at the church, what picture is supposed to be emerging? Well, there's a scripture, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love for God, our love for one another. As a congregation here at Little Britain Presbyterian Church, we are part of the body of Christ. Now, God's body is not limited to those in this room, and yet we are not excluded from that body. And God has made this congregation to fit together in such a way that his glory will be presented to the world. And so we are the body of Christ, here and now. And we're here for a purpose, to display his glory, to display his love to the world. So we want to join his mission by the power of God's Spirit that dwells among us, the scriptures are clear about that, to build up the kingdom of God by inviting the hurting and the hopeless to find forgiveness and healing in Jesus. We strengthen the church through our unity, working together for a common goal. Friends, this unity is everywhere. We don't have to look far. It's in our families. It's in our own divided hearts. It's all over the world. It was in the church in Corinth. But here we don't need to split into factions. Instead, we see our differences as a strength. We need the variety. We need the different parts to be a healthy church. And disagreements are natural. Remember that. They're not unhealthy. It's okay to have disagreements, but let us approach them with humility and seek what the other person has to offer. We don't let our disagreements divide us. Our mission, then, our purpose is kind of alluded to in what the song Bailey said, is to show the world God's love, to show the world Christ died for the world, that he's coming back for the world. Matthew 28 says it, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Friends, that is the purpose, the box top, if you were, that we're trying to form this body, our pieces together to display to the world. So I gave a kind of some big pictures of unity and what the goal is, but now I want to focus in on the different pieces of the puzzle. And first I want to say that each piece is important. If you ever put a puzzle together, you know that every piece, you need them all to come together. And I want you to know that no one here is unimportant. You hear that? If you're here today, you are important. You're no unimportant pieces in God's puzzle. Each of you are part of the body of Christ, it says. You are here on a purpose. Even if you're the pinky toe of Christ's body, you are beautiful and you are essential. We need you. We need pinky toes. For those who struggle with low self-worth, I want you to let the gospel affirm you. Even if you feel like a mess, you are still part of the body of Christ. The Corinthian church was a mess. It had lots of issues. Paul had to write several letters to them correcting all their various messiness in that church. And this church is described as immature, as worldly. It's a church that Paul writes has all kinds of of sexual morality, that there's a man sleeping with his mother-in-law or stepmother, and the church is not doing anything about it. That's a church mess right there. It talks about all these cliques in the church. Those who are saying, oh, I follow Paul, and others saying, oh, I follow Peter, and no, I follow Apollos, and they're like bickering among each other, saying that their group is right. There is problems in this church with when they come together for a church meal. The rich people are getting there early and eating lots and getting drunk, while the poor people after work stagger in and are left hungry. Great inequality. And they really don't understand the resurrection. Paul spends all of chapter 15 correcting mistakes about the essential doctrine of the resurrection. So this church is a mess. And yet, you see God's gifts, his spirit, working in this church. And Paul is urging them to be unified and that they are important and they are part of the body of Christ. So friends, even when we feel like we are a mess, God is still at work. It's a very great image that Paul uses. He uses the comical image of, could a foot say, if the foot could speak, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. And that's ridiculous, right? We need feet. We need hands. We need both. It's not one or the other. One's not better than the other. We need both. And God's gifts are all important. We need noses and ears and eyes. If we were all the same, then we would be lacking. There'd be a lot missing in our body, in our puzzle. So no matter who you are, no matter how your gifts compare to the person next to you, you have a gift, and you are important in the body of Christ. Because we are one body, Paul says, then when one part suffers, we all suffer with it. And you know that. When your back's in pain, your whole body's in pain. When your head hurts, your whole body hurts. And so same thing here in this body of Christ. But also when one part is honored, the whole is honored. The whole shares in that joy. We share our victories because it's not their victory, it's our victory. It's what God is doing with and for his whole body. So you may feel like an insignificant piece of blue sky in a big puzzle that is one of 100 of those same shade of blue. But let me remind you, if one piece is missing, the whole is missing something important. On the other hand, though, there are some who may feel like they are the most important piece, that the world revolves around them in the church, that their gift is better. They think that maybe they're that corner piece, that piece that everyone searches for and rejoices when they find one of the corners. And it brings two sides together, and I think everything centers around me. And Paul reminds people of that attitude, no. You are not the whole body just because you're an eye. We need eyes. Eyes are important, but we need the whole body. An eyeball by itself can't see, can't smell, it can't touch, it can't move besides rolling around randomly. So the church is not a one-man show, right? It's everybody needs to be gloriously interconnected to each other. Therefore, let us work together. If we teach, let us do it with all our heart. If we heal, let us do it with God's power. If you have a gift of administration, let's help bring the pieces together for God's glory. If you show compassion, let's lead in kindness. If you have the gift of discernment or wisdom, speak up. The church needs to hear the words of caution or encouragement that you offer. If it's help, then lighten someone else's load. Each one of the church gifts or spiritual gifts are important. The church needs you. We need to work together. We together are the body, and our purpose is to do the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So what does that look like? Well, we're all ministers. On the back of your bulletin, it says the minister of the minister here at Little Britain is the congregation, right? That's each one of us, not some odd person or one person or somebody who doesn't exist. It's each one of us are the ministers. A minister is one who serves. And so we do the works of service that Christ has given to us. And we've looked at those various acts of service over the summer. It's feeding the hungry. It's offering a drink to the thirsty. It's giving hospitality to the stranger. It's clothing the needy. It's looking after the sick, visiting prisoners, sharing the good news of salvation, passing on the faith, training each other in righteousness and holiness. Just to list a few. God has a lot he is doing in and through his body. the church follows Jesus, is called to all these ministries. Yet none of us can do everything. Even if we had the energy, we don't all have the gifts that are needed. So we need to work together and support each other and encourage one another to do their spiritual gift. So how do we build up the church? Well, to shift the analogy once again from puzzles to bodies, now to construction, it's a building project, this building of the kingdom of God. And God is the master builder. He is doing it through his Spirit, but he's also doing it through his people, through his body parts to build up this kingdom. And a builder can't build without material. It needs, the person who builds needs stone or bricks or wood or something. But just dumping all the materials into a pile doesn't make a house. We need to work together. Scripture calls us to be living stones. We need to invite others to Christ, to orientate that new Christian into patterns of right living according to the Scriptures. We need to support one another, especially when we're feeling wobbly or feeble or going through a crisis. We need to train and pray as God brings new people into our midst. Friends, in the church there's no passive members. Each one of you has a gift. It might be a very visible gift. It might be one that no one else sees. But it is a gift given to you so that together we may serve the Lord. Christ has established the church. He has the one out of love who has brought us all together and shaped each piece just to be right. And if you can truly say Jesus is Lord, then you are part of that living stones, the temple of God. You are part of that bride that he is perfecting toward the day of his final coming. But maybe this morning your heart's kind of not sure. You're not sure if you really believe in God or if it's just something that you're still hesitant about. Well, I want to encourage you that we would love to talk to you. Love to talk to him personally or one of the elders or just somebody in the church who has that gift of being able to explain to you the joy of the Lord, to be able to pray with you, to help you take the next step or maybe get over a hurdle that you've been struggling with. People are here. People are here today to talk to you. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. God's Spirit may be knocking on your heart's door, wanting to come in and share his fullness. Open it up. Let him in. But even if you've been a Christian for a long time, you may still feel God's knocking on your heart because maybe there's a door that you've kept closed to him. Maybe there's a new opportunity that you're nervous to step out in. We encourage you as a church. Come, talk, pray. Let's discern the voice of God together and let us encourage you in the faith journey that he has you on. Before I go any further, we do have another testimony this morning. I'd like to invite Jenny up, and we're actually going to have Bob turn off the live stream today. So Jenny can share with you who are here. But indeed, we do praise God that he has made us a body with all different parts. Jenny, would you come?